It's always good to meet, to worship, and to share the Word of God. And let me start by asking you, has anybody here this morning has ever met a member of the royal family in person? If yes, yes, how did you feel? Has anybody met a member of the royal family here before in person? No. Okay. As for me, on the 1st of November 2003, I met the late Queen Elizabeth II in person. The encounter took place in two parts of the same day. First, at the Methodist Westminster Central Hall, and the second part at the Anglican Westminster Abbey. It was at the occasion of the signing of a covenant agreement between the Church of England and the Methodist Church. The delegation of the Methodist Church was led by the then president of the Methodist Conference, Reverend Dr. Neil Richardson, and the vice president, Mrs. Judy Jarvis. I was fortunate to be chosen to be part of the Methodist delegation, together with the then chair, the chair of the London Methodist District, Reverend Emmon Kelly. The delegation of the Anglican Church was led by the Queen Elizabeth II and the then Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan William. I sat facing the Queen. At a point during the service, I managed to make eye contact with the Queen. For me, being among the few chosen to be witnessing that ceremony was already special. But making eye or face contact with the Queen was extra special. I could imagine in my mind the Queen saying, "I chose to come down here all the way from my palace to meet you because you are precious." In fact, in the Bible, the human face is considered to be the gateway to the soul. We know that whether you are happy or sad, anxious or full of hope, your facial expression will reveal it. Am I right? When you become feel. As a matter of fact, Jews understand what it means to engage with someone face to face. This is even more special when the encounter involves the presence of God. This is so because in the face of God, our human life is like a mirror. Therefore, when in a way or another we experience the presence of God, we are supposed to catch stars in the sky shine. They catch the light and reflect
reflected back across the galaxy for the whole world to see. That's why I'm going to reflect with you this morning on the theme, Call to Shine. Call to Shine. If you don't mind, please stop telling yourself, I am a star. Could you please say, I am a star. I am a star. I am a star. The amazing things about stars is the uniqueness of their nature. Though there are billions of stars in the galaxy, no two stars are exactly the same. And no two stars shine the same way. Each one of them was made to shine in their unique way. So are you, and so am I. So each one of us, we were made to be unique, special. In our first Bible reading, in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, 24 to 26, Moses and Joshua and their descendants were instructed to bless those who claim to belong to God, saying, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace." If it was me, I'll be saying amen at every point. Because this is what I call divine blessing. When I say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace." Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because these are not my words. It's really divine, this word you should use to bless people. And you'll agree with me that's a very powerful blessing that has the potential of making God's seal of approval and his mark of ownership upon us. That reminds me of our recent covenant service, during which we were reminded about God saying, "I'll be your God and you'll be my people. I'll be your God and you'll be my people." When we understand the full implications of such a special blessing, we definitely seek a way to have a closer, personal, and intimate relationship with God. Consequently, when we become intimate with God, he will entrust us with things such as his wisdom, his guidance, his insight, his affirmation, his empowerment that others may not have access to. For example, King David, his greatest passion was to know God intimately. In Psalm 25, verse 4, he wrote, I quote, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path." Then he followed up by saying, "The Lord confides in those who honor him." That's verse 14. That's what we read in our gospel reading in John chapter 5, verse 20, where Jesus said, "The Father loves the son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And he will show him greater works than this, so that you'll be astonished. The father will show the son things like this. So having an intimate relationship with God involves desire, mutual acceptance, and delight. And as King David said in Psalm 37, verse 4, I quote, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart." That's delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. But as Christians, we have to be willing to let God, through Jesus Christ, take the focus points of our life. This is where I find very inspirational. The lyrics of the hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus," sound in a believer's ear by John Newton. We know who John Newton was, who he was, and then what he became when he encountered God. In Standard 4, he wrote, I quote, "Jesus, you are my Savior, you are my shepherd, you are my friend, you are my prophet, you are my priest, you are my king, you are my Lord, you are my life, you are my way, you are my beginning, you are my end. Accept the praise that I bring." So I said, wow. You know, who he was? John Newton, the one who wrote Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. So he knew who he was, and then what who he became from this encounter. Then we say, "I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." And that's really now he knows how to delight himself. So, someone else wisely said, I quote, "You never know that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you got." Let me say it again. You never know that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you got. From my personal experience, I can assure you that something wonderful happens when you delight yourself in the Lord. His desires become the desire of your heart, so he can entrust you with his plan for your life. And we know the passage from Prophet Jeremiah saying, "For I know the plan that I have for you, declare the Lord. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and the future that you need." That Jeremiah 29, verse 11. That's what I call divine blessing. Personally, I may not have gold and diamond, but I feel like I'm one of the most blessed people on the earth. And everyone here this morning should feel the same. Because really, if we are the son of a loving God, and I like Psalm 139 say, "You have been fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. The world around you may not, that you may know who you are, really made God to shine And it depends on your personal relationship, the affirmation, knowing who you are. I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. And I've been called to shine. And this depends on the word you affirm upon yourself. And so let me conclude with an image that I call the cascade of divine love. In 2008, I visited Chatsworth House in the Derbyshire Dale. Is there anybody in the Chatsworth in the Derbyshire Dale? It's one of the finest ground houses in Britain. It's believed to have inspired Jane Austen's novel, Pride and Prejudice. The house and its gardens are open to the public. In the garden, there's a huge cascading fountain which runs all the way down a hillside in a series of steps. The water flows from one step to another, and the public are allowed to paddle in the fountain and walk up the steps. And for me, this is a good image of God's love. The Father is the fountain of love and of life and love. And his life and love fill the Son and overflow to us. And then through us, it keep on flowing to a needy world and broken world. Where does all the water come from? From the top. It's not that we have to generate love. So when through our personal commitment or through a charitable organization, we are doing our best, making a positive difference in people's life, such as being there for the lonely, the brokenhearted, the elderly, the stranger in our midst. We are not bringing love into existence through those gestures. We are all reactivating the dynamic power that we receive from the cascading fountain of God's unfailing love. And as long as we remain connected to the source of God's cascading love, we get drenched in love until love flows out from us. That's when we become more compassionate and motivated to start walking the walk on the steps of the fountain, responding to the cries of the and the agony of a needy world. So that image still stays with me. As there is not exclusive, I'm allowed to be trenched in that love, and so that I can give it back. So let me conclude with this final thought, because we are called to shine. Therefore, watch your thoughts, for they become your word. Watch your word, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, for it can become your destiny. you were created and called to shine for God's glory. He started by saying, I am star. Remind yourself again. I am a star. And let me catch your light. Let me catch your love. And let me spread it around me. Not for my sake, but for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.